people. This is Everything But the Lesson Plan podcast, and I am your host, Francesca Thompson, educator and founder of Thrive 12. Today, we have a special guest, Avion Morris, and we will discuss the imposter syndrome and how it shows up in academia. Let me share a little bit about Avion. She is from the beautiful twin island country of Trinidad and Tobago. She currently enrolled in her PhD Learning Design and Technology program at the University of Georgia. She's a Fulbright scholar and an American Association of College for Teachers and Education. She has over 12 years of combined experience in higher learning institutions. And what we talk about today is how the imposter syndrome is the same in higher learning as it is in primary and secondary education. We are hoping to share some critical understanding about the imposter syndrome and equip you with tools to support you, whether you are at the university level or you're a teacher teaching a primary or secondary education. Welcome. How are you today?
Hi, Francesca. I'm fine. Thank you for having me.
Yes, I was just excited when I was reading your bio. Tell me a little bit about your PhD, Learning Design and Technology. Give me a little summary of what led you to that topic.
So I chose to pursue my PhD in that particular area. I was an e-tutor for one of the universities back home. And journey time, so we're doing online learning. And journey time, I noticed that some of my students were really struggling in terms of passing the course overall. And it's only when the pandemic hit and we changed the assessments for the students. So we removed the final exam and instead we did continuous assessment for the students. I realized that, okay, these students passed. So in me, we recognizing, okay, well, something needs to be done going forward. Reached out to those that are in charge and said, you know, maybe we should consider this going forward. To remove the final exam from the course. And no one took me seriously. And I was like, you know what? I want to do some more research on this because what I noted during that time as well, research matters. So saying that you think or you believe this to be the case, you need to have data. Sometimes just your assumptions aren't enough. You need to have data to back it up. So that's why I was like, you know what? I'm going to do my PhD. I'm going to contribute in a bigger way towards the academic institution of my home country.
Oh, I love it. And you know what? That's why I'm back in school as well. It was that time during the pandemic that I think a lot of changes happened in education that inspired, you know, us as educators to seek more understanding and how we can support our teachers and our students. And so I too have a story and I'm like, oh, we got that in common. How some of that stuff that was happening during that time, you know, helped us to say, hey, I need to go and do some research and get a better understanding of this and see how it can help people. So that's good to know about you.
Yes.
So let's talk about this imposter syndrome, okay? And then I think, you know, so first of all, I want us to talk about, this is a very interesting topic, and I want us to kind of start with defining it. And in your research and knowledge of it, tell me, what do you believe the imposter syndrome is for those who may not even heard of this term or kind of are going through it and was like, oh, that's what that's called? Tell me what your definition of imposter syndrome is.
So I'm going to read the National Library of Medicine's their definition of it first. Okay. So their definition states that imposter syndrome is a behavioral health phenomenon described as self-doubts of intellect, skills, or accomplishments among high-achieving individuals. Mm. These individuals cannot internalize their success and subsequently experience pervasive feelings of self-doubt, anxiety, depression, and/or apprehension of being exposed as a fraud on their work, despite verifiable and objective evidence of their successfulness. So that's their long definition. But for me to sum it up, I felt like I couldn't do what I know I could do. So I have a master's degree already. I did a master's degree at UGA, started my PhD program. So I have a track record of doing really well academically. But yesterday I felt like I couldn't do it. I felt like the feelings of self-doubt. I had a high level of anxiety and depression, especially during the master's program, when I know that I can do it. My track record has proven time and time again that I could do well academically. So that's where the imposter syndrome started to creep in for me.
When I was doing my research, it was on the lines of what you were saying. It was talking about it's typically when people are in certain environments and they doubt their skills and accomplishments. This could show up in work, wherever you work. Or it can show up as you, and your example is you being a student and you're in school. And then some of the research was saying that it can even show up in your own home. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. And so it's the fear of being found out or cast out. And it's like, but we're, like you said, you're capable. I'm capable. And this shows up for me when I'm at work. Especially when I feel like the people in the room may have more knowledge or more skills or more degrees or whatever the case may be. And I'm like, is this the space that I'm supposed to be in? Can I amount to what they're doing? I'm always judging myself. And it was really, really bad when I started as an educator. And I think a lot of new teachers have that challenge as well. Because they're not only learning, but they're trying to also, do. And so it's like, am I doing the right thing? Is she doing it better than I am? Or is she saying it differently? So I love that, we're talking about it today. So tell me a little bit about how this has impacted your journey as a student.
So as a student, I would have really shied away from doing certain projects. I would just focus on going to class, making sure I pass, and that was it. I really didn't want to be a part of any committees. I was kind of like a lone wolf because I so wanted to do well. I needed to prove to myself that, I can do well, but I didn't need to do these things because my track record would have proved different. So as a student, it really made me go into a shell. I could have done more, but I just couldn't get out of my own way because of how I was dealing with this mentally, in terms of being an imposter.
I like that you said you couldn't get out of your own way. And I think that's a big part of this. When you talk about the imposter syndrome, I found myself just judging myself constantly. It didn't matter what I could, it could have been a perfect presentation, a perfect example of a lesson, or whatever it was, I was constantly judging myself. And even in class, because I'm in a student as well, I would think I would have a great answer. I would say the answer, and then we'll have some discussion about it, and someone else would show up and say something, and I'm like, oh my God, that sounds better than what I'm saying, or maybe I don't know. Or then I would also see it would hinder me from even answering the questions, because now I'm like fearful that I'm not going to say the right thing and this person is going to do a better job. And so it would stop me, and I was getting in my own way as well, you know?
Comparison is really this a stealer of your joy. I compared myself a lot to my other student colleagues, other people in the field. It's like, am I really supposed to be here? Is this what I really am supposed to be doing? But I'm thankful that my mindset has changed enormously since I came to UGA.
So let me ask you this. When was it that you first recognized it? When was that light bulb moment? Like, what is this? Why am I doing this? When did that happen?
I would say at the beginning of the master's program. So just to take you back a bit, so I would have gotten a Fulbright scholarship, came to the US in August 2021. So I believe a part of that contributed to it, me leaving my home country, coming to a foreign place, trying to resettle my whole life and pursue this academic degree. But I realized that in my classes, because I've done programs before, where I was not myself, where I was not functioning as a normal Avian that everyone knows. So when I realized, okay, mentally, things didn't seem right, I started to research it and I spoke to another colleague back home and she said, you know, Avian, this sounds like imposter syndrome. I'm glad that you're recognizing it now so it doesn't continue to build up as you go out through your program. So first thing I did was, as soon as I recognized it, I began to try to deal with the symptoms that I was experiencing.
That's great that you had a friend that helped you identify what it was, right? A lot of people don't have that. I think how I termed it, or and figured out what it was for me. I think I was watching something from Brené Brown. Do you know her? She's a speaker, she's a writer, and she was talking about it. And then I had to go and do some research, and I was like, oh my gosh, this is what I do. I would always, after class, call my sister and just talk about, the struggles I was having in the class, in my PhD program, just with me feeling like I didn't fit in. And we would go back and forth, and she would be like, "Girl, you're fine. I think you're thinking too deep." But we didn't know what to call it. So I was glad that I was able to do, listen to that episode of Brené Brown and find out more about what the imposter syndrome was, and was like, "Oh, that's me. That's what I'm doing." And so some of the things they talk about, and here are some of the questions that people ask, or because if you don't know what it is, here's some of the thinking around that. People will be like, am I in the wrong profession? I don't know what I'm doing. I have no control over my classroom or my studies. I'm never able to teach well. And then some other things like that that they're saying, that self-doubt, that's what you can term it and label it as imposter syndrome. So what do you feel are some of the internal and external factors of imposter syndrome?
For me, some of the internal factors would be your self-esteem, really knowing yourself and your value, what you have to bring to the table. Don't compare yourself to others. I think that contributes to it as well. But know by yourself that you are enough. You are capable, you have the skills and the ability. The mere fact that I was accepted speaks volumes enough because there are others who weren't accepted into the program. So knowing, okay, I am worthy, I have what it takes to do this. And externally, for me, it would have been looking at my, I would say my family background as well. So I would be the first individual in my mother's side of the family to earn a PhD. I have an aunt on my dad's side who has a PhD already, but I would be more or less like setting a new family trend, breaking some generational curses. So those are the things that I would say are both external and internal as well. When you look at imposter syndrome.
And I think when you said some things, you're the first in your family, you're going to be the first in your family to earn a PhD. I think sometimes even that, right, may feed into that imposter syndrome, because it's like, am I worthy enough? I will be the first as well, in my family. And so it's kind of like, am I I'll be honest with you, when I apply. And I've already gotten my master's from UGA, but for whatever reason, the imposter syndrome showed up when I was applying to the PhD program, and I was like, "Nah, this is, I'm not going to be able to do this. I'm not going to get in. I know that there's people way better than me." And it was just like I had to silence that noise. It's just that amount of thinking in our head takes us away from being our best and doing what we actually need to do. And so I would say, and I think you've learned, you have to be your biggest cheerleader. And when that noise comes in your head, you have got to immediately figure out a way to stop it, pause, and figure out how to get that out of your head. What are some techniques that you've been doing?
Well, Firstly, as I mentioned before, I acknowledged what it was. Doing this podcast with you right now is testament in itself that I am doing some great work on myself. Because if you had asked me, I would say 6 months or almost a year ago, I would have said flat out no. Who am I to do a podcast on imposter syndrome? So that in itself is a big milestone for me. What I did also in terms of coping and getting over it would be building a community. So find your tribe. I know
Yes.
it would not happen overnight, especially if you are in a foreign space, come like myself. So network with people, put yourself out there. A little bit of a time. You don't have to go into these grand crowds, but one by one, engage other persons so you can really build that community. And last but not least, just believe in yourself. You are not here by chance. I know that you were handpicked for a great
Yes.
purpose. And trust me, your future self will thank you for getting out of your own way.
I love it. That is it right there. So I'm glad that you were able to come on today and talk about this. And I hope it helps someone. I know it will. So tell me what's next for you?
In terms of, well, I'm in my second year. So, in my steps in coming overcoming this imposter syndrome, I have another conference that I'm looking at participating in next year. Two actually that I'm looking at participating in next year. So, that's my next step so far. I really want to continue doing some work in terms of my research. So, I'm from the Caribbean. I'm hoping to really reach out to some of the stakeholders back home, hopefully get some research done, because one of my research interests is in hybrid learning. So that's going to be my next step so far, especially within my academic journey.
I love it. I love it.
Yeah.
Well, we've definitely got to get together and collaborate. I'm so glad we met. And I'm excited for you and your journey. And I'm excited for of your growth that you've had just combating imposter syndrome and learning to be your own cheerleader. Thank you for that. In the show notes, I will have your contact information in there for people to read about you, and they can get connected with you on LinkedIn, is what you said, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Anything else you want to share with the audience?
No, I just want to thank you for having me. Yes, and I look forward to anyone who reaches out and need help. I will be more than happy to chat with you at length about it and see how best I could be a resource for you as well.
I love it. Thank you so much. Well, today's episode was about the imposter syndrome in academia. So, I would say keep doing your research, keep being your best cheerleader. You have got this. This program was brought to you by Thrive12, an educational resource company dedicated to educators around the world. Please check us out on www.thrive12.com for additional information. In the show notes, I have attached a few resources dedicated to this episode. Please leave a comment, share your feedback, and participate in the show's discussions. Thank you for everything, and I need everybody to do one thing for me: keep thriving. Good night.